Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and a reminder that you can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And please do not forget the resource of the month, The Price of Panic, How the Tyranny of Experts Turned a Pandemic into a Catastrophe. Again, the book available for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. I want to begin today's broadcast by talking about what we will celebrate in just a couple of weeks, and that is the mystery of all mysteries, the mystery of incarnation. The more I contemplate the mystery of God becoming man, the more staggered my imagination. The very thought that the one who spoke in trillions of galaxies leapt into existence should cloak himself in our humanity is, well, beyond all comprehension. To imagine that the one who knit me together in my mother's womb would himself inhabit Mary's temple boggles the mind. And yet this is precisely what Christianity proffers, a creator beyond all comprehension who has revealed himself in incarnation. The Christ who was with God, the Christ who is God, became flesh, dwelt among us. We saw his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, to Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, this was the height of absurdity. To modern-day Muslim philosophers, it's blasphemous. And I should add that modern thinkers are similarly persuaded. I always think of what New York Times columnist Nicholas Kristof once said. He saw the incarnation as being reflective of the way American Christianity is becoming less intellectual and more mystical over time. Smirking at incarnation, he swallowed the odd predilection that nothing creates everything. But if you have a truly open mind, you have to resist that kind of obscurantism. Miracles like the incarnation are not only possible, they're necessary to make sense of the universe. If you think otherwise, it is buying into the implausible contention that life sprang from non-life, and that the life that sprang from non-life produced metaphysical realities, including mind and morals. That the universe in all of its incomprehensible magnitude is but a function of time and happenstance. And that, as Carl Sagan once put it, we live on an insignificant planet in a humdrum star that is lost in a galaxy that has been tucked away in some forgotten corner of a universe in which there are more galaxies than people. For Sagan, for his naturalistic offspring, our significance is mirage, our posturing, our imagined self-importance, the delusion that we have some privileged position in the universe are challenged by this point of pale light. our planet, they say, is a lonely speck in the great enveloping cosmic dark. In our obscurity, in all of its vastness, there is no hint whatsoever that help is going to come from somewhere to save us from ourselves. But there is a hint. In fact, far more than a hint. The heavens quite literally shout. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands day after day. Well, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge, and there's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their words go out into all the earth, their words indeed to the ends of the world. So far from impinging on our significance, the vastness of this universe intensifies our significance. Your significance, my significance, our collective significance is found in the reality that Christ took on our humanity, that God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Those who tout our insignificance, those who tout the great enveloping cosmic dark, they're like children addicted to virtual reality. All the while, surrounding them is a world full of realism and relationships left begging to be explored. Post-Enlightenment thinkers, they've become wretched flatlanders. They're stuck, as I've said so many times before, in the psycho-epistemological cocoons of their own fundamentalism. Far, far from considering the possibility that they might step through the wardrobe into Narnia, they mindlessly mouth Sagan's mantra. Remember that one? The cosmos is all that is, or ever was, or ever will be, he said. But imagine this. Christ invaded time and space. Christ took on our humanity that we might experience the perichoretic movement inherent to the divinization of Christ's flesh. A movement undeniably commenced by the divine nature of the Logos who united our nature to himself in a single hypostasis without division, without confusion. And in reciprocal movement, the image returns to the archetype who in turn imparts to it divine life. In other words, the human being receives to itself the whole of God and as a prize for ascending to God, inherits everything, inherits God himself. The movement of all creation from the moment that God made the heavens and the earth to the moment he created humanity in his own image, created humanity not only in image but also likeness, is a movement towards this quintessential goal. And while eternity does await the effulgence of our glorification, even now we may take hold of the life that is truly life. And in doing that, we can experience the life that matters more, the very life I wrote about in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. That book, of course, as other resources available on the web at equip.org, and happy to send you a copy as you stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth this Christmas season. I hope I have piqued your mind to the great glory of what we celebrate at Christmas. Don't get caught up in the trivialities. Recognize the majesty inherent in Christ coming in flesh. When we come back from the break, we'll go to your calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Be right back.
What will be the total cost in dollars, lives, and livelihoods of the COVID-19 response from governments on advice from science? How did science bureaucrats relying on murky data and speculative computer models gain the power to shut down the global economy? How did politicians who know nothing of the science decide whom to trust? What is the price of panic? Professors Jay Richards, William Briggs, and Douglas Axe take a deep dive into the worst pandemic-induced disaster in history, the COVID-19 pandemic. To receive your copy of The Price of Panic, How the Tyranny of Experts Turned a Pandemic into a Catastrophe, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
For the first time in history, the world shut itself down by choice, fearful of a virus that wasn't well understood. The government ordered the closure of countless businesses, many never to return. Schools sent students home to be taught in front of a computer. Churches canceled worship services. Social distancing went from a non-word to a moral obligation overnight. We need to know what happened to keep it from ever happening again. In The Price of Panic, Professors Jay Richards, William Briggs, and Douglas Axe examine the worst panic-induced disaster in history, the COVID-19 pandemic. To receive your copy of The Price of Panic, How the Tyranny of Experts Turned a Pandemic into a Catastrophe, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground Church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go to the phone lines, talk to Ty in Washington, listening on the web. Hi, Ty.
Hello, Hank. How are you, sir?
I am fine, thank you.
Hey, I have a question for you here. I'm really struggling, Hank. I could use your help. I love my church. I love the people that I go to church with. I love the ministries that we do. And yet, for the last 2 years, I can't shake the call that the allure of the Orthodox Church. And I'm struggling because they're about an hour away from me. And the church that I belong to is right in my hometown. And I'm very involved. And I don't know how to cross that gap from the Protestant upbringing that I have to abandoning the people that I love and going to an Orthodox church that's so culturally different and further away, and yet I feel God pulling me. I don't know about going to that location necessarily, but just understanding Orthodoxy, and it's so beautiful and rich, and my heart's just broken because it just feels so overwhelming sometimes.
You know, there's so many people, Ty, that are going through that exact same thing. I was looking at a particular article a few weeks ago about millennials in particular who are looking for something rich and majestic, something that really invokes our worship and our total commitment, not just church, but a life that envelops the totality of our being. A friend of mine who became an Orthodox Christian some time ago described Orthodoxy as returning to a time when the church was young. And he tells this story about being a boy growing up in India. And there he would climb a coconut tree and he would dive into crystal clear water of a river. And over time, that river became polluted and toxic, and therefore, if he were to dive in now, it would be to risk his life. However, if he rowed the canoe back up the mouth of the river, he could again experience water that's pristine and pure. And he used that as an illustration for Orthodox Christianity. To become an Orthodox Christian is to return to a time in which the church was as yet unpolluted. No novel innovations. It's a return to the fresh waters of the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Orthodoxy, it's been described as Catholicism without additions and Protestantism without subtractions. And I think there are a lot of reasons to consider it. You certainly can tell where the church is. You can't say where it's not. But I think things like apostolic succession, very, very important in my own track. The Orthodox Church maintains a historically vibrant connection to the apostles through the ordination of its clergy. And as such, Orthodox priests can trace their ordination back to the apostles and through them to our Lord. Or I think about the councils. The Orthodox Church has been rightly designated the Church of the Seven Ecumenical Councils. In fact, that's what I have been saying on the Bible Answer Man broadcast probably for 30 years. But under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, these fathers of the councils testified to the transcendence of Trinitarian and Christological truths, and that in harmony with the Scripture as they themselves had received them through apostolic tradition. Their authority, of course, grounded in the Church of the Living God, which is, according to Paul in 1 Timothy 3:15, the pillar and the foundation of the truth. Another thing that really drew me personally to Orthodoxy is that in Orthodoxy, the church is the center of the universe. It's the reincarnation of Eden. It's the place where we may once again access the tree of life replete with its Eucharistic bounty. And by it, the body of Christ partakes, therefore, of the body of Christ and experiences life in the fellowship of the Trinity. The Divine Liturgy is the sacred rite by which Orthodoxy celebrates this mystery of the Eucharist. As has been well said, the liturgy is composed of the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of worshipers. The liturgy of the Word, in its basic classical shape, is actually a Christianized version of the synagogue service, which focuses on the reading of a biblical passage and then the homily or sermon. The Eucharist, on the other hand, is derived from the words and actions of the Lord at the mystical Last Supper. By it, the Orthodox community is changed from human multiplicity to one body in Christ. And that's why St. Ignatius of Antioch christened the Eucharist our medicine of immortality and the antidote against death, enabling us to live forever in Jesus Christ. Now, I wrote about all this. That's why it's fresh in my mind. I wrote about all of this in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, which tells of my own journey into Orthodoxy. So for me, yes, it was very difficult. There were people who said I had left the Christian faith. There are people that said that I left a church. I left and joined a church that shouldn't be joined, but rather should be cursed. So I paid a huge price for joining the Orthodox Church. But from a personal perspective, it was well worth it.
That's so beautifully said. Hank, I love you. Thank you for doing what you're doing and having the courage to stand up for what you know God is calling you to. And I can't wait to continue to contribute to you and your ministry.
Well, bless you, Ty. And, my life and your life, they're so temporary. And I've learned a long time ago that you can't listen to what critics say. You have to follow truth wherever it leads. And the only thing that really matters is that when we stand before the Lord in that great assize, that He will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll give you many things. Enter thou into the joy of your Lord. So the real issue here for me is having an eternal perspective. And of course, I've mentioned this on the air a number of times, Ty, but last year I almost died twice. And once you've come to that place of recognizing in a real tangible way your own mortality, you don't look at public approval, you don't look at ratings, you don't look at size of ministry platforms, prosperity. All of that goes by the wayside, because when you stand before the Lord, the real issue is, will He have considered that you had been faithful where He placed you? And if you look at the early Christian church, I mean, anything that I've suffered in my life is insignificant. You see, the Apostle Peter, who dies a horrifying death because he now recognizes that Jesus Christ is Lord and God, and therefore he's willing to suffer the tyrant's brandished steel and the lion's gory mane and the fires of a thousand deaths because he knows his master is Lord and God. And of course, that's the same thing that happened to the Apostle Paul. A ceaseless persecutor becomes the prime person who leads the Christian church into the realm of the Gentiles. He becomes the apostle to the Gentiles, and he becomes a transformational force in the world. And for our part, we need to take this tiny drop in the ocean of eternity and make a difference while there is yet time, and therefore lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Great talking to you, Ty. Merry Christmas, and may the Lord lead you.
Merry Christmas. God bless. Thank you, sir.
You got it. And do remember, as we bring this broadcast to a close, the book that is so incredibly important, The Price of Panic, The Tyranny of Experts Turned a Pandemic into a Catastrophe. I just did a podcast with Dr. Jay Richards, one of the authors, and that'll be released soon. And we'll also have him on the Bible Answer Man broadcast talking about this incredibly important book, because a lot of people simply don't know what to make of all the catastrophes around them. Well, this book will give you a direction in the midst of the storm. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time with more.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you The Price of Panic, How the Tyranny of Experts Turned a Pandemic into a Catastrophe. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
For the first time in history, the world shut itself down by choice, fearful of a virus that wasn't well understood. The government ordered the closure of countless businesses, many never to return. Schools sent students home to be taught in front of a computer. Churches canceled worship services. Social distancing went from a non-word to a moral obligation overnight. We need to know what happened to keep it from ever happening again. In The Price of Panic, Professors Jay Richards, William Briggs, and Douglas Axe examine the worst panic-induced disaster in history, the COVID-19 pandemic. To receive your copy of The Price of Panic, How the Tyranny of Experts Turned a Pandemic into a Catastrophe, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.